All right. Jayagan dhamma dhava kunjabi hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Madhava Yeri Vradhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Yeri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Yeri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Yeri Varadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jamana Tira Vanachari. Jamana Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunjabihari. Gopi Jana Balabha Yeri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Yeri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Yeri Varadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana. Jamana Tira Vanachari. Jamana Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrigacharaja Astatarasata Sri Srimad.
His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavarini.
Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Gaur Pimanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning, Canto 10, Chapter 13, on the board is text 47, and 48 goes with it, so we'll chant 47. I beg your pardon? Also 46, but we'll chant, okay, fantastic. Chaturbhuja Shakha Chakra Gada Rajiva Panayaha Karitana Kundalino Harino Vanamalinaha Chaturbhuja Shakha Chakra Gada Rajiva Panayaha Karitana Kundalino Harino Vana Malinaha Karitana. Chaturbhuja Shakha Chakra Gada Rajiva Panayaha Harino Vanamalinaha Chaturbhuja Shankha Chakra Gada Rajiva Panayaha Karitana Kundalino Harino Vanamalinaha Chaturbhuja Shankha Chakra Gada Rajiva Panayaha Karitana Kundalino Harino Vana Malinaha Chaturbhujaha. Having four arms. Shankha Chakra Gada Raja Rajiva Panayaha. Holding conch shell disc club and lotus flower in their hands. Karitanaha, bearing helmets on their heads. Kundalinaha, wearing earrings. Harinaha, wearing pearl necklaces. Vana Malinaha, wearing garlands of forest flowers. And then comes the rest. So we're going to go back to 46, Subal? Yes, okay. 46. Translation. Then while Lord Brahma looked on, all the calves and the boys tending them immediately appeared to have complexions the color of bluish rain clouds and to be dressed in yellow silken garments. Purport. While Brahma was contemplating, all the calves and cowherd boys immediately transformed to Vishnumurtis, having bluish complexions and wearing yellow garments. Brahma was contemplating his own power and the immense, unlimited power of Krishna, but before he could come to a conclusion, he saw this immediate transformation. Then, 47-48, all those personalities had forearms holding conch shell disc, mace, and lotus flower in their hands. There were helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of their chests was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the Kastuba gem around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, that's their necks, and bracelets on their wrists with bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred belts around their waists. They appeared very beautiful. Purport. All the Vishnu forms had forearms with conch shell and other articles, but these characteristics are also possessed by those who have attained Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha, and who consequently have four arms exactly like the form of the Lord. However, these Vishnu forms appeared before Lord Brahma also possessed the mark of Sri Vatsa and the Kastubajam, which are special characteristics possessed only by the Supreme Lord Himself. This proves that all these boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, not merely His associates of Vaikuntha. Vishnu Himself is included within Krishna. All the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna, and consequently for Krishna to demonstrate so many Vishnu forms was actually not very astonishing. The Sri Vatsa mark is described by the Vaishnava Toshani as being a curl of fine yellow hair on the upper portion of the right side of Lord Vishnu's chest. This mark is not for ordinary devotees. It's a special mark of Vishnu or Krishna. So I'm going to take a look at the commentary of our acharyas on these verses, because they're wonderful. So we'll go back to 46. Purport for 46. Commentary by Jiva Goswami. When Brahma began suffering because of his bewilderment, the Lord quickly showed him mercy according to Brahma's desire to see some other greatness of the Lord. Nine verses describe this. The forms appeared while Brahma looked on. This indicates disregard for him, Brahma. They appeared not depending on his power of vision, but appeared spontaneously to his eyes. They appeared by their own power. Sanatana Goswami. When Brahma began suffering because of bewilderment, the Lord quickly showed him mercy. The forms were seen by Brahma, who was looking. The possessive case is used for the instrumental case, or Brahma gazed at the Lord with fear and humility. The forms thus manifested. Because of the astonishing description, the forms could not be illusory. The forms were manifested in a specific way. While Brahma watched, these forms became visible. So now, what he saw, first two of nine verses. Very interesting commentary. First, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. While Brahma was contemplating these matters, he saw that all the calves and cowherd boys, but they gave no heed to him. Quote, "Oh, resident of Satyaloka, unborn Brahma, true, you are Aja. By your intelligence, you create the universe, and now you want to bewilder us with your Maya? You don't know at all who we are. We will show you. Look, though we are all the calves grazing on Vrindavan's grass and all the cowherd boys herding those calves, our real form is only one form." Unquote. Endowed with special spiritual vision, he was able to see it spontaneously. They were marked with the line of Lakshmi, or Shri, on the chest, Vatsa. They had armbands on their upper arms, Kastuba jewels on their necks. Their hands were ornamented with bracelets, and their feet with anklets. Jiva Goswami's commentary is really far out. Because they had forearms, they were Vishnu forms. They were the first and second Purushas, controllers of Maya. What does that mean, first and second Purushas? Mahavishnu and Garbhadakshay Vishnu, first and second Purushas. And then he quotes a verse from Canto 2, Chapter 6, where Brahma is speaking, Sirajami, "I, Brahma, create under his order, and Shiva destroys under his order, holding his three energies. He protects the universe as the Paramatma." Now, he doesn't say it here, but I can look it up and check to make sure, but most likely this is commented upon in Paramatma Sandarbha also, because that's the third Purusha expansion, but the third Purusha expansion is nothing but an expansion of the first and second, and thus, in one sense, actually one entity. But here's what he says about this Canto 2, Chapter 6. Brahma speaks these words. Vishnu forms appeared also because Generally, it is heard that they appear showing all powers for carrying out creation and other works for Brahma. In other words, Brahma, the powers that you have for creation are derived from us. So Brahma is staying the same because the three potencies, internal, external, and marginal, are potencies of the Supreme Lord, which he manipulates in various ways to make creation happen. So, the three forms, that's Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva, the three forms make their appearance now in a mixed form to show non-difference of the three. Got it? No? Shiva and Brahma are expansions of Vishnu. They are expansions of Vishnu. They derive their potencies from Vishnu. So the one and different concept, achintya beda, abeda tattva, here Jiva Goswami is stating Vishnu wants to show Brahma. Brahma, the power that you have that you're testing against us is power derived from us. And in that sense, that oneness sense, you, Lord Shiva and Vishnu, there's no separation or there's oneness amongst you. So please don't be so audacious as to test the limit of Krishna's power. Please. I'll read this, read it again. Brahma speaks these words. This is Canto 2. Vishnu forms appeared also because generally it is heard that they appear showing all powers for carrying out creation and other works for Brahma. The three forms make their appearance now in a mixed form in order to show non-difference of the three. Paragraph. Sri Vatsa is a fine curl of hair on the right, situated, turning to the right, situated on the right side of Vishnu's chest. This is the unique mark of the Lord, or his chest was endowed with effulgence, or the chest was endowed with Lakshmi. Vatsa means chest, according to Amarakosha dictionary. Katakas are anklets. Kambu indicates that he had three lines like the mouth of the conch on his neck. It also means bracelet. Kankani is a string around the wrist with jewels. Kambu means a conch or a bracelet. Kankana is a hand ornament. Sanatan Goswami. Short. They all had four arms to show that they were lords of Vaikuntha so that Brahma, Vishnu's servant, could realize Krishna's greatness. Krishna generally showed four arms to Brahma and others. Shiva says a fine curl of hair turning to the right, situated on the right side of Vishnu's chest. This is a unique mark of the Lord. Thus, these forms were not followers with Sarupya, but Vishnu himself. this chapter 13 is the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada made commentary on, translation and commentary. It's quite astonishing. He didn't have access to at least that I'm aware of, to the Acharya's commentaries, because he was in this dilapidated condition physically. Skin and bones, lying on his back. Yet with such clarity of the purports in this chapter, just astounding. Clearly he was on a transcendental platform, in short. So, the pastime itself is many, has many dimensions. A big dimension is mercy. Another big dimension was for the reader, making it clear that Brahma is not on the same platform as Vishnu or Krishna, in case there's some concern. It's all one. Or you worship this one, that one. So they're not the same. Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma are, there's this oneness aspect, but they the other two are deriving their power from the one. And so their power is not equal, their position is not equal. The distinction is being made. And another dimension of the pastime in general is helping us, just looking up to Lord Brahma, whatever it is that we may have as something, it's insignificant compared to what Brahma has. What Brahma has is insignificant compared to what Lord Vishnu or Krishna have. We're truly tiny. Material consciousness says otherwise. Impersonal conception says otherwise. But the Vaishnava conception is very clear. But for us, it's really important. He's our Sampradaya preceptor. He is so qualified that from within his heart he received knowledge of the Vedas and passed it on and so forth. So this is a pastime. It's not the same as the pastime of Arjuna becoming bewildered, but it's certainly similar, because how can Brahma become bewildered? At least two conversations, like question and answer sessions with Prabhupada, one was a morning walk conversation, another was a room conversation, there may have been others, where Prabhupada was asked, not in a challenging mood or an impertinent mood, but how is it possible that Brahma became bewildered and stole the calves and cowherd boys? Or how is it that Brahma became bewildered and began pursuing his own daughter? How is it? And Prabhupada became like fire. I mean, he didn't raise his voice, but the tone was stern. He is pure enough. How can we see him as a pure devotee if he was pure enough, or is pure enough? So, similar to Apichet Sudharacharo, the behavior of stealing, interrupting Krishna's pastimes to check out and see, you know, what's the limit of Krishna's power compared to mine. Kidnapping the calves and cowherd boys, that's a pure devotee, to see what Krishna's going to do. It's an offense. It's not a small one. Interfere with Krishna's pastimes. It wasn't intended in a challenging mood. It was a, you know, he wanted to know. He was curious. So we may be curious wanting to know. So but how could something done, there's other ways to find out, but that's what he did. And so Prabhupada's answer was, we should not question how pure is Brahma. He's pure enough. Just like this detailed description, it's in Tamal Krishnamurti did a fabulous job in he was writing a commentary on Brahma Samhita. And he did a lot of research. And so the verse that's describing Brahma, there's something like seven or eight different sources of where Brahma can come from and where Brahma may go to, according to different scriptural references, like really exhaustive. Prabhupada didn't go into such detail generally, but at least this much we know from Prabhupada's writings and teachings, that if there isn't a qualified person, Krishna becomes Brahma himself. It's so important. The position of Brahma is so important. He's the most qualified. You know, this 100 lifetimes of perfect execution of varna and ashram duties. I mean, try to do it for an hour or a day or a year, a lifetime, 100 lifetimes of flawless execution of varna ashram duties. Whew. 100 lifetimes. Okay, you can be Brahma. Because the function, not just, well, it's the two functions. The creation of the universe. How elevated does one have to be to carry out the details of creation? It's so complex. How intelligent must one be? These people that are proponents of intelligent design. The intelligent design advocates. Quote Bill Gates as saying, the amount of information that's in one strand of DNA is millions and millions and millions of times greater than any information that Microsoft has ever created by the most brilliant of minds. So just, you know, make a strand of DNA. You know, scientists are interested in manipulating the strands. Moving this amino acid over there and putting another one over here and seeing what happens, and guesswork. No guesswork. Perfect. And all the variety, whatever you can think of. Something that I heard Bandirayan Swami say at least two different occasions is, because he's from California, The engineers who designed the bridge in San Francisco, the Bay Bridge, what they did first was they studied spider webs. To find out how spiders did it, and then they mimicked what spiders did. And they built the Bay Bridge. So let them create a spider. Let them create a mosquito, Prabhupada's challenge. Take the chemicals and make life if everything comes from chemicals. Anyway, that's the whole, the bluff of scientists, the blind faith that people have in scientists because blah, blah, blah. The blind faith that people have in scientists is a big obstacle for convincing people in the truths of the Vedas. You know, if it's corroborated by the scientists, hey, then, you know, maybe I'm interested. Anyway, the intelligence of Brahma is astounding, super qualified. And yet he did this boo-boo, or offense. Not just whoops, it was an offense. Still mercy. So the whole enactment, so it's a big part of the pastime, the big enactment of mercy, to have Brahma understand things that only through mercy can one understand. So he wanted and Krishna reciprocated. His power versus Krishna's power. And there are verses in this chapter that my understanding has been all along that simultaneously the calves and the cowherd boys were there, and simultaneously the Vishnu Murti forms were there. However, at least text 16 seems to indicate that the calves and the cowherd boys became Vishnu forms. They showed these forms. Let's read it again. Then, while Brahma looked on, all the calves and the boys tending them immediately appeared to have complexions, the color of bluish rain clouds, and to be dressed in yellow silken garments, and then etc., etc. And the indication it from these verses appear to be, the indication appears to be, maybe both readings are correct, that's certainly possible, that the calves and cowherd boys are direct manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Brahma was allowed to see that. They appear to be separate entities. They're direct expansions of Krishna, who is one. So all the forms are all the forms and all the forms. They're Vishnu forms. They're not Sarupya Mukti Jivas. Vishnu, 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 Vishnu. Something like all the gopis are expansions of Radha. So why not all the gopas are expansions of Krishna? And expansions of Krishna means what? Not like there's Krishna, there's Krishna, there's Krishna, but they're expansions of Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. Or you can say Shakti Tattva. But they're Krishna or Krishnas. And either way works. They're living entities, perfected souls, engaged in Krishna's service. They're at least the forms that were shown are not Sarupya Mukti forms. They're Vishnu forms. That part's clear. So whether those sarupya mukti forms and the cowherd boys, or sarupya mukti forms. These text 46 seems to indicate they, the cowherd boys, and the calves, for the pleasure of Krishna or Krishna's expansions. Anyway, it's interesting. Raso vai saha. Krishna is engaged, just like the detailed description of the Gopi Gita section of the 10th canto. These are Krishna's potencies, and Krishna is enjoying with Krishna's potencies. There's no adharma, because the dharma applies to us who are living entities who are Krishna's separated parts and parcels, and the codes of dharma apply to us, given by Bhagavan. Dharmam hi sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So there's no transgression on Krishna's part, enjoying his potencies. And so the cowherd boys, in exactly the same logic or inference, is these are Krishna's. The cowherd boys are the calves and the cowherd boys, and Krishna's just enjoying pastimes all day long with his potencies. Really far out. And we're being invited to join the party. Krishna's pastimes. Here we are, in La La Land, subject to all kinds of misconceptions and illusory desires and covered consciousnesses and all kinds of things. And we're being invited. Krishna is so kind. And he's involving Lord Brahma in this same way. This is a pastime. It's a wonderful pastime. Two chapters just addressing this one pastime and his beautiful prayers. But the interest that Krishna has at the end of the prayers is he doesn't even, after all the prayers, doesn't say anything. He remains silent, in its description is he just wants to get back to having lunch with the cowherd boys and being with the calves. Because these wonderful eulogies by Brahma are not as attractive to him as the love of the cowherd boys and the calves. And just being with them, that's his greatest happiness. And for practicing devotees, Krishna's happiness is to become everything for us too. So we're getting an inside look at what's Krishna's happiness about. He's certainly happy to give mercy to Brahma, even with his permission or sanction to have his pastimes interrupted. How could Brahma steal the calves and cowherd boys unless Krishna sanctions? Right in Vrindavan. They're put in a cave. Kidnapping. Whew. People go to jail for stuff like that. It's crime. Showing him mercy. Krishna is very kind. Brahma had a desire, and then when he offers his prayers the next chapter, he's overwhelmed. But Krishna fulfilled his desire. He wants to get back to his pastimes with calves, cowherd boys.
Any discussion? Kritanaha Kundalino.
Maharaj, can you please, I could not understand.
Can I do one?
I could not understand. You told that dharma is for us, and that, can you please explain again, that is, that how Krishna is not entangled for that?
How is Krishna exempt from dharma?
Yeah.
That's your question?
Yeah.
Well, you can say it differently. Same thing said differently is, for Krishna to be the enjoyer of pastimes with unmarried girls, or married girls, or both, for him is not a dharma, because these are his potencies. Dharma applies to your marginal potency, para, but prakriti, and there's Krishna's potency that's meant to be enjoyed by him. So dharma regulates what you do with Krishna's potency. Dharma applies to us, how to engage ourselves with Krishna's potency. When Krishna's engaging with his own potency, the same principle, dharma principle, doesn't apply. It's his own potency. The rule of dharma is to regulate the activities of living entities engaged with Krishna's potency. Or, looked at it a different way, often Prabhupada would say dharma isn't just religion, it's the nature of something, the constitutional position of something. So the constitutional position of Krishna is he's Purusha. He is the enjoyer, he's not the imitation Purusha. He is the enjoyer, so there's no adharma. It's his constitutional position. Our constitutional position is to be a servant. And the codes that regulate our service is dharma, sanatana dharma, varna and ashram codes. Okay.
One more. One more thing I have to add. That recently I was hearing Srila
Prabhupada. Recently you were hearing?
Well, Prabhupada was telling that there are different type of Vishnu.
Different types of?
Vishnus.
Misuse.
Yeah, like not Sarupya. So
not
like,
horrible.
Yes, sorry.
Not horrible?
Not like Sarupya.
Different types of Vishnus.
Yes. And like it depends upon how he is holding counts in one hand.
Oh, okay.
And another in other
hand.
Yeah,
sure. Sanatan Goswami instruction.
Thank you.
So, those are just... What's your question? You've been hearing and now you're just commenting. It's just a comment.
Just adding to this form of this.
Well, the Vishnu forms mentioned by... Well, not mentioned. Instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami is scripturally based, but the name, which Vishnu, is dependent upon the position. So, of the four. So, the da 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 da. So, depending upon the position, then a different name. That's all, but it's Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. The distinction between them is by name, according to the position of the symbols. Okay. Sibal.
Srila Paswami, I wanted to ask you about after this very powerful lesson that Krishna gave to Lord Brahma in terms of establishing his position of supremacy, and Brahma being the top of the living entities, you know, then I was just thinking, you know, then the power of this covering or this illusion that later Lord Indra, he committed even a much more horrible offense.
And
how is that this lesson is not, you know, being broadcast or taken by
What's your question? How is this lesson not being broken?
Broadcast. Or passed to the other, you know, powerful demigods.
That's an interesting question. I haven't a clue how they broadcast things. No, not a clue. Hey, did you hear what happened to Brahma? No, tell me all about it. Oh, oh, really? I better be careful. I don't know how they communicate in the heavenly planets. Even if they communicate, it doesn't mean that Maya can't cover someone that heard the broadcasted news. The susceptibility of a living entity because of marginal position still is there until one becomes Shuddha Bhakta. So even if it's broadcast. Yeah? Does that address your question?
And the past tense is there, and this for some reasons Krishna is in control. I was just, you know, thinking, yeah, it addresses it.
Okay.
Couple questions, Guru Maharaj. In the beginning, couple times there was a mention that Brahma's suffering was due to bewilderment. And
Brahma's suffering was due to?
Bewilderment.
His suffering was due to bewilderment. Did the purport say like that? Yeah, okay.
So, in the material conception, we think our suffering is due to things happening to us, other people, and then as we try to practice devotional service, not just as a factor of time, but hopefully as a factor of the intensity of our practice,
yeah,
it dawns upon us that it has nothing to do with the circumstance. In fact, it's the bewilderment that I carry, my lack of connection with Krishna, that is why I'm suffering, not because of anything out there.
Okay.
So, to deepen...
This is an interesting question. Keep going.
To deepen this realization that all my suffering is due to bewilderment. It's not...
All your suffering is due to bewilderment, and you want to know, is that correct? That's what you're asking?
How to go deeper in this realization...
How to go deeper in the realization.
Of understanding that it's because we're illusioned in our relationship with Krishna, and
yes,
we're disconnected, that all our suffering is actually because of that, not anything else out there.
The last part is important. Again, I couldn't... Your voice trailed off. Last part only, please.
I can't remember. The last...
That's it. So you want to hear more about it, or you want to know how to go more deep into the realization of that, or?
Yes, Gamanji, the second.
Second one. Well, a short answer is by a more complete spiritual conception of who we are and our relationship with Krishna is how to go more deep in it. Or say it conversely, our realization is shallow because we have some residual material conceptions of who we are in our relationship with Krishna, the process of bhakti and, you know, reality. We have some understanding, but there's, you know, a fair amount of mix in there, and so our understanding is shallow. And sometimes, okay, and sometimes not okay. I lose sight of that reality because, so keeping it simple, spiritual conception. And we had this nice discussion in China, like went around and around and around and around because somebody was kind of stuck. That's so it went around and around. But our spiritual conception of Krishna has everything to do with our spiritual conception of ourselves. Or say the other order. The spiritual conception of ourselves has everything to do with our spiritual conception of Krishna. So if we give attention to the spiritual conception of Krishna as a byproduct, we'll have a more spiritual conception of ourselves. And in turn, our relationship with Krishna, what bhakti is. In public audiences, even with not just public audiences, devotee audiences, human form of life is meant for self-realization. And the starting point is, I'm not this body. No, understanding what we're not. And then another is, I was just listening to a lecture yesterday. Then Prabhupada said, and another point is that Krishna is at Hoksaja. He's beyond any material sense perception or the mind to imagine. He's beyond that. And with Brahmasamhita verses and things. So self-realization and God-realization, they occur simultaneously. But the main attention, we have to understand who we're not, but the main attention goes to Krishna. And we need to remove the material conceptions because there are material conceptions of who Krishna is. With thinking who he's not. And then, you know, the list, Prabhupada to make a little list. Some people say this and that and that, the other thing, and that's, those conceptions are loitering because we've heard it so much. We've not heard sufficiently from one who knows. And even we hear again and again from one who knows, it's still residual influences. Self and Krishna. So we're dependent. Now back to the bewilderment message or element of your question. Until that unalloyed bhakti is there, we'll not understand Krishna and there'll be bewilderment. And thus anxiety and fear and apprehension and uncertainty and the mix. And it's not sufficient just to like, okay, I'm going to jump in the pool, both feet. Because we're still holding on. The mercy of Krishna can come all at once. Generally, it's gradual. Faith, happiness, knowledge, bhakti, you name it, you know, reality comes gradually. And it's bestowed upon those who tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam, Krishna gives. He can do it all at once. But it's generally gradually. Okay. Something else.
When you started reading the commentary, it said that Brahman looked on with fear and humility. And we often hear in examples like Prahlad Maharaj or Ambarish Maharaj of the combination of fearlessness and humility.
One's in the position of Shuddha Bhakti and the other is not. What does fear arise from? Identification with the body. And the rest that goes along with the body. Mine. My power, my knowledge, my position, my etc. Fear. And an apprehension, I would think it's reasonable. The apprehension, I made a boo-hoo. Yeah, up front. Can you stand up and take the microphone rather than have her come to you with the microphone?
Too late. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class. In the purport to this verse 46, Prabhupada says, Brahma was contemplating his own powers. And that reminded me of the verse where in chapter 2, I think.
You always have a nice commentary to give to the commentary. Go ahead.
In verse chapter 2, verse 62-63, it says, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person, et cetera, that verse. It just reminded me of that. And of another quote, and I have a question. There's a nice quote that says, detachment is not that you should own nothing.
Detachment is?
Not that you should own nothing, but that nothing should own you. So generally, so my question.
Detachment is what?
Detachment.
Where'd you hear that one?
Google.
Somewhere along the way?
Yeah. Google Acharya, so somewhere. So
okay,
and we see that Brahma was owned by his powers, and we see that in our situation, we don't own any opulence. We're owned by our opulence. So my question is that especially when we're taking positions of leadership, like Prahlad was like, I don't want this position of leadership.
Speak it slower. Prahlad was what?
Prahlad Dhruva Maharaj, when he attained enlightenment. Attained enlightenment.
They attained enlightenment, yes.
And so their disposition is, my Lord, I don't want this position because I might be owned by the power. So my question is that how do we know if we're being owned by some position, some opulence? And if so, what are some steps we could take to rectify the situation before Krishna in this situation humbles us like Lord Brahma and so many people in the scriptures?
You got it? Yeah. Well, how do you make sure it's Shuddha Bhakti? And otherwise, it's going to happen. And it may not be always happening, it may be sometimes. Sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes, sometimes not. But even the sometimes not, it's waiting to happen. Only time is separating, kind of thing, because there's still contamination. So it's your question is, the placement of your question is different, but it's similar to the bewilderment question that Sri Radhika was asking. You know, not being possessed by some opulence or power, or not being possessed by Maya, thus bewildered. How do we ensure Shuddha Bhakti? How do we progress in Shuddha Bhakti? Gradually, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, etc. Anyone else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.